See the pretty young girl at the church, maybe back, maybe spend. Hey, no. Had a little vocal on her in the choir, said she loved Jesus and she had good credit.
Few months in, I'ma just do it. So this is your boy King Pit, Big Drake, Baby Radio Show, man. You know we just gonna do it, man. Coming right back at you, man. Look, Big Drake. So we finally caught the family back up to kind of where we are right now. But man, we gotta talk some sports, man. And so we got into the Ohio State, man. Dude, watching that game, though, watching those boys, Big Drake, I don't know if there's a more talented team in the country.
They're loaded. I mean, they're loaded. They really are. And they had their top two or three wide receivers suspended and the best D lineman on the team suspended.
Yes.
And of course, we're biased. We're biased, but it's true. The SEC is the greatest
football
in the world.
Yeah, we're the best in football.
The next competition is going to be against the next and only competition is going to be against Michigan State.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure when they play them, but that's it. So they got one more game to get for, and that's it.
That's what I said, man. Realistically, they can only beat themselves. I mean, I don't see there's nobody. And I don't think Michigan State can handle them, man. I don't think Michigan State can stay on the field with those guys, man.
Michigan State. They beat them a couple of years ago when they were undefeated. That's what propelled Auburn into the national championship.
Yeah.
So Michigan State always plays them well. Michigan State is in the top five or six, aren't they?
Yeah. Michigan State's ranked up there too. You're right. They top 10.
Yeah, so
I don't know, man. Watching him, and then so one of my homeboys that's an Alabama fan at work, he comes. He said, "Man, nobody beat Saban twice." I said, "Yeah, you're right," but I said, "This is why nobody beat Saban twice. It's because if he sees that crap once, he's gonna mastermind. You'll never beat him with that same thing." I said, "That team that was on the field for Ohio State, I said, that's a completely different team than Nick Saban's team last year. That's a completely different team." I said the weapons they have are completely different from what they won a national championship with.
Yeah.
I mean, so how do you prepare for that? I mean, how do you prepare for a quarterback a wide receiver / quarterback that changes the entire dynamics of your offense? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was shocked. You talk about how rocked up Braxton was. I was shocked at his route running ability. I was shocked at his handling of the football in open field like a running back and not a quarterback. I mean, just overall, this dude is Percy Harvin with the ability to play. I mean, he is a Percy Harvin / Tim Tebow. Yep. Well, no, because Tim Tebow was never a true quarterback. He is Percy Harvin /
RG3. Yeah. And, I mean, the quarterback, they ran the ball more than I would have expected them to run with him.
Yeah.
So, he ain't Braxton Miller fast, but he'll get the yards that he needs to get to be more effective and make you play that option of a quarterback running very honest. It's going to make you watch that. It's going to keep you honest.
And it's because of how big he is, too.
A quick 12, 15.
And because he's so big, you know, he'll tote three of them.
Yeah.
He'll tote three of them coming through the hole, man. So,
and I was really impressed with that kid's throwing ability. He can really throw the ball.
He really can, man. They call him 12 gauge, and that is not a slouch because that boy got he has a shotgun on his arm, bro.
Yeah,
I mean that
he do it with such ease.
Yeah, it's like the flick of the wrist, man. So dude, I was really impressed. I foresee Ohio State beat they had to beat themselves. Based off of what I see, again, like I said, they are absolutely loaded for talent. And so, you know, I'm going to talk about our Auburn Tigers, but So I did get a chance to watch glimpses of the Alabama game. What you think about Bama, man?
They're good.
The defensive line a whole lot better than it was last year.
Oh, the defensive line is stellar.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they're going to be as good as overall as everybody thinks they are. And I really believe they're going to miss old Blakey Blake. They're going to miss that chocolatey quarterback. They're going to miss him. They're going to miss him.
What,
because, I mean, this is my thing with Copeland. So, he's at Florida State. He's paid his dues. He was letting E.J. Manuel, whoever it was, starting over him. So now it's his
James
chance
Winston.
To finally start.
Yeah, James
Winston. Well, he lets his true freshman come in and take his job.
Yep.
So, he leaves because he wasn't going to play there. He goes to Alabama, and, oh, Coker's going to be the guy. Coker's going to be the guy. Well, they take a guy that played running back the year before and made him the doggone quarterback.
Yep.
So, how great is this guy supposed to be, really?
And being very honest, Big Drake, even this year, he didn't win the starting job. He got appointed to it at the game. Because going into the game, there are still questions of whether or not he was the starter. So even after all the stuff you just laid out, and this year you couldn't win, you could knock out your competition.
Yeah.
So I'm like you know, how good really are you when you do that? But I tell you something that was good. We talked about defense line. I don't care what size I was or what position I played, I would not want to be on the receiving end of trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
The dude can come with it now.
Dude,
the only thing I would say is just being a football fanatic.
Uh-huh.
When he runs through the hole, he runs through high. And somebody might catch slipping one day. Like, his pad level is always high. What's his name? Like a
Eric
Dickerson style of
running. Eddie George.
Yes, Eddie George, too.
He is very reminiscent
of
Eddie George.
Was lightning fast, but he, like, stood straight up.
Yeah.
So, I just hope he learns to get his pad level a little down. And, hey, if it ain't broke, you know, watch out of 50, he's successful with his running style. He's scoring touchdowns. So, you know, do your thing. But eventually, when you get to SEC ball, somebody going to get him. Or, because he's going to play pro ball.
Yeah.
The pros going to get him. He's going to stop that of high running.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, taking a quick side note, is anybody else shocked? I mean, it's going to become the laughing star. But, dude, I'm really shocked that Trent Richardson became the bust that he was in the NFL.
I really wouldn't have thought that, man.
I thought this dude was going to be the next coming of a freaking – but you know what, Big Drake? I'll go on record and say what you call him tried to tell us. Cleveland Browns all-time running back. Jim Brown tried to tell us. You don't remember when Jim Brown had issues with him when he first started?
Yeah.
Jim Brown had a lot of comments about it when he first started. Jim Brown tried to tell us, man.
Yeah, everybody thought all Jim Brown needed to shut the hell up.
That's right.
Hey, you know what he's talking about.
And now this dude out the league, man.
he retired. Okay.
Oh, okay.
If you want to call it that.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, man. So Bama, like I said, I don't know. Like I said, Bama looked all right. It was Wisconsin. And now people may say, well, y'all lost to Wisconsin. That's not the same Wisconsin team we played. Because they didn't have running back.
No, not.
That is not Melvin Gordon and in that senior offensive line that we played against in the bowl. Then we should have beat them, but still, that's not the same team that we played against. And I do want to go on record too, Big Drake, and say Trent Richardson is out of the league, and Nick Marshall actually made an NFL roster. Just FYI.
Wow.
FYI.
and minus the defensive players. Their defensive players, Alabama's defensive players, have done stellar in the league.
They have.
But their offensive players never can quite, you know, other than what Joe Namath, and then was it Gene Stallworth?
John Stallworth? John Stallworth didn't go to Alabama, though, then.
But nah, the guy that's the GM at the Ravens.
Oh, Ozzie Newsome.
Yes.
Yeah, the tight end.
Yes. Yeah. Other than those two, and I'm pretty sure some true Alabama fans could probably give me a couple more.
Sherman Williams had a decent little run with the Cowboys, but he wasn't the it.
No, like, I mean, like, really, like, really just take off and have a genuine long career in the NFL.
It's probably some linemen, but no.
Yeah, you know, but like skills with quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. Now Julio, of course, he's good, but he really, no, he stayed injured. He still hadn't had no Randy Moss type season, which he's capable of.
I think last year was a Randy Moss season of him. Because that's how he got his contract. He had over 150 receptions and 1,400 yards last year, even with being hurt two games.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, last year was a big season for him.
They won like two games, so it's real hard to watch somebody when. I'm just being honest. I mean, I'm not trying to doubt it. I mean, if he did, because he has that capability. He is a game changer.
He is. But
it's just like all the hype when McElroy came out, when Trent Richardson came out, what's the Heisman Trophy winner? Mark Ingram. He should not have won the Heisman Trophy that year. I don't care what nobody said. Anytime you're the Heisman Trophy winner, and okay, even when one of the Alabama fans said, well, now, because I don't know the stats. He didn't know the stats, but he just said, now, do you think that Bo Jackson might have had a bad game? Do you not think he was still the best player in college football?
No.
I said, yeah, I think, you know, he deserved it. But, first of all, he wasn't the best player in college football. And second of all, anytime you get benched, I ain't never heard of a Heisman Trophy winner getting benched. He got benched. The whole second half of the Auburn, of the Iron Bowl. And Trent Richardson messes up, so we wouldn't even know who he was. We weren't ready for that.
That's right.
But Mark Ingram got benched. Okay, I'm done with that. But
I don't think Bo ever got benched.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
in fact, in the Iron Bowl, Auburn's head coach called a timeout to tell the offensive coordinator, you're not going to run the play. You're going to run. You're going to get a ball to Bo.
Once I said that, he kind of shut up. Then I'm like, I mean, do you really realize that the Heisman Trophy winner got benched in the biggest game in the state? But anyway,
so I just looked up. Because I had to look it up. So Alabama, there's a Don Hutson, who is the number one on this top 10 greatest scrum style players in NFL history. Hutson was a wide receiver in 1945, who supposedly was great. Other than that, there's another name on here, Bart Starr. I don't think I remember Bart Starr played Alabama.
Oh, I didn't know Bart Starr went to Alabama.
Yep, Bart Starr.
Bart Starr that played quarterback for Green Bay?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't know he went to Alabama.
Kenny Stabler.
No, he went to Alabama.
Kenny Stabler went to Alabama.
I'm not an Alabama fan, so, you know, school me up.
Yeah, and Joe Namath and Ozzie Newsome. Those are only offensive players.
And what years was that?
Ozzie Newsome, 78. That other
dude. I wasn't alive then.
Nope. I told you 1945 was the other dude. Joe Namath.
I wasn't alive.
He was inducted to the Hall of Fame in 85, so you could tell when
four.
He played. That was so, when he got to the Hall of Fame.
He had to stop playing with 5 years?
Yep.
6 years?
Yep.
So he was playing, I wasn't alive.
Nope. Bart Starr, 1961.
Wasn't alive.
Let's see what Kenny Stabler was. I'm pretty confident we weren't alive then either.
No. So that's why I didn't know all those people.
Kenny Stabler, 1977. So...
Wasn't alive. Okay, we're gonna move on. I'm pretty sure the Alabama fans are like, okay, now they're just picking on Alabama.
Yeah, now they're picking.
And that's not what we're about. That's not what this show's about.
No, we came because I said something about Trent on that. So that's what put us.
Yeah. But you know, I was watching ESPN on one of these shows, and they were showing some clips of it, and like me and you holding hands could have ran through.
Oh, you talking about
particular hole?
Yeah,
he was going to the wrong hole.
I seen that. Yeah, he ran straight into the. Yeah, I seen that, bro. Now I tell you, I will say this: there's one person that may get his name added to that top 10 list, and that is old buddy Eddie Lacy.
Oh, Eddie Lacy running that thing.
And you know the crazy thing, Big Dre? If anybody I would have said would have been a bust, Eddie Lacy was it.
Yeah, and in that championship game, Eddie Lacy was the one scoring all them touchdowns against Notre Dame.
That's right. Yeah, Eddie Lacy, he comes to bring, he brings his lunch to work every day, brother.
He's like the quiet assassin.
He is.
Before you know it, this dude just ran for 150 yards. With 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Because you look at him, he looks fat. And he plays running back. But he has quick feet. He has good vision. And he has speed.
Yep.
I mean, he is I like him. He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
So Eddie may be one to get a chance to get added to the list. But like I said, Alabama just looked okay to me. I'm with you. I wouldn't trust Coker. I really was shocked. I thought one of them young kids actually would beat him out. But, you know, to his credit, he played. So here's my transition point. To his credit, he played far better than my quarterback. So.
Yes. but you know what? And Alabama fans might get mad. And I'm going to defend my guy. My guy played horrible. I give you that. But the reason why you haven't seen Alabama quarterback from like the McElroys, the McCarrons, who have won national championships, who've been very successful, excel in the NFL, is because they're not asked to make plays. They're asked to manage the game.
That's right. That's right. This is true.
So
our quarterback is being dependent upon to help us win.
Yes. Yes. In one of those plays, he had a deep guy wide open. And I was at Jeffrey's house watching it. And the guy had the guy beat by literally 6 or 7 yards. Easy touchdown. And a lot of those times, what a quarterback is due, because a wide open guy sometimes is the hardest throw because you're thinking, okay, he's wide open. I just got to do this. Except just throwing the ball in the rim.
You think too much.
So a lot of those times when a guy's wide open, they'll be overthrown.
Yeah, because well, you lay it up, you think it too
hit
much.
Hit the defender in the back. And Lane Kiffin almost walked off the field. So how does a receiver have a cornerback beat by 7 yards, and when the ball is thrown, he hits the cornerback in the back?
Yeah, because Coker.
That quarterback, the quarterback is trying to catch up. He's like, oh, God, I'm about to get embarrassed. So naturally, he's not turning around looking for the ball. If he'd have turned around and looked for the ball, it would have been a perfect pass for him.
But, and this is what I'm going to say about our quarterback. And I told somebody came out, he's like, my friend, what happened? One of my guys, he's an LSU fan. He said, my friend, what happened? You told me so much about your quarterback. What happened? I said, you look like garbage. That's what happened. See, he looked hard. I said, let me tell you what happened. I said, my quarterback believed his own hype. I said, all season, all summer, everybody been talking about it. He's a Heisman candidate. He's the heir apparent. He took over the offense. He sat there. He's waited. He's learned the offense. I said, he believed everything everybody told him. I said, if you don't believe me, go look at the passes that he got picked off. He should have never thrown those balls.
He was just throwing them.
The one of the passes that got picked off, he truly believed he could outthrow 3 defenders.
Yeah.
He could outthrow 3 defenders. Even though there was only one of our men back there, he thought he could outthrow triple coverage. Somebody's triple coverage. Yeah. I said, he blowed his own hype. I said, he paid for it because he believed his own hype.
Yeah.
I said, now what that should do, that should be a humbling experience. And he should go back and hopefully everybody will talk about him like a dog, and he will come down a couple notches, and he'll start to, and he'll let the game come to him instead of him trying to be bigger than the game.
And you know what? That's one thing I can say now. You never really appreciate what you got until it's gone.
Right.
But that's one thing I could appreciate about Dumb Dumb. He was so dumb, he didn't know what pressure was.
Nope. He ain't never believed that.
He just went out there and played. He's so stupid. He just get out there and play. He didn't know the game was on the line. He just went out there and played. Well, as far as JJ, you know, he probably is feeling a lot of pressure,
yeah,
which doesn't excuse anything. Listen, don't get it twisted. I'm not excusing because he played like pure D garbage.
Garbage.
He got to get it together.
He went out there and tried to win us the game. I'm like, dude.
He tried to win the Heisman on the first game.
I'm like, dude, just let the game come to you. Play within the offense. I mean, the fact that he only targeted Duke 3 times with 2 catches. Like, dude, hit that slant right there. Duke is right there. Don't go deep.
Yeah.
Quit trying to burn folks. And then the one that we did have wide open, then we got to hold it on that one.
But that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to do like he did in the previous games, because he wasn't the guy that was no pressure on him. Just take what the offense, what the defense is giving.
That's right.
Yeah, we might want to go get this 30-yard bomb, but they're giving us 6. So we'll take
the 6. Like when he started against Arkansas, first game of year, he had no pressure. He like, man, I ain't playing up but the first half anyhow. I'm just finna go do me. Like,
yeah.
Dude, Johnson, go do you. Now, I will say this before I talk about the rest of the team. For every bit of garbageness my quarterback looked like, that kid that Louisville put in the second half, that kid going to be the truth.
He's fast.
That kid is legitimate 4-4, man. I don't think he has the arm strength of him, but he has. That's as close from a leg standpoint I've ever seen to Michael Vick.
He'll get it. He's a true freshman.
Yeah, he's a true freshman.
He'll get it.
But people don't realize, you know, Michael Vick played like that as a freshman too, because he came out after they got their sophomore year. He doesn't have the sheer. I mean, Michael Vick doesn't, to this day, to me, Michael Vick doesn't get the credit of being the level of athlete that he is.
He's an athlete.
Michael Vick has one of the strongest arms in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it comes off his wrist so effortlessly. But that kid, that's as fast at the quarterback position I've ever seen somebody play. I mean, that almost approached that Michael Vick level. I mean, that was a legitimate 4-4. But I wonder, Drake, and I wanted to get your perspective on this. Do you think, because to me it looked like first half, I was like, oh my God, Muschamp is worth every $1 million we paid for him. Defense, we had 4 sacks in the first half, probably should have had 9. And then the second half, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know our whole defensive line came back from last year. Because they got. But now the one thing I noticed, so they did change quarterback, so I think that was a little bit, our defensive line looked seriously slow because the quarterback was that fast. But Carl Lawson did not play at all the second half. Is Carl that much of a game changer for the rest of the line as well?
Yes, because I can't recall if we talked about it, but, you know, I went to just about every spring practice at Auburn. And that dude there, he is just at a totally different speed, pace, and level than everybody.
Wow. Because that's all I was wondering. I'm like, he's out the game, but dog, did he impact the line that much?
I mean, because, you know, it's he's like a mistake eraser. Because he is so good and so dominant that if other people are lacking in their responsibility, he erases their mistake for him because he didn't tackle the guy 3 yards in the backfield.
This is true. And then when he's on the field, he's always going to get doubled, or he's always going to get the attention.
Yeah, and that's what Will was doing. He put him in situations where he couldn't get doubled.
Yeah.
So Not Darvin Adams. I said Darvin. Oh my goodness.
Montrevious.
Forgive me. I mean, totally same last name, but totally two different players.
Totally two different players.
That dude right there.
Montrevious Adams probably ate Darvin Adams.
Yes. Yeah. He's a beast. The only thing about him is he'll take a couple playoffs.
Look like he took a half off.
Yeah, he's like, okay. Because, I mean, at one point, you're like, okay, nobody can block him. But,
no.
But see, it was the tandem of him and the DN.
Because he was on the inside right, and Lawson was on the outside left.
One of them one-on-one.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to pick their poison. So when Lawson went out, they were like, oh, we can just double him. And plus, you know, he took some plays off, but we can double him. And the rest of these jokers will be all right.
Yeah.
Now, I do think Coward, that dude can reach fast. I will think he will eventually become a good player.
He needs to be around. He needs to keep being around some goons, though.
Yeah.
To pull that dog up out of
him. I'm pretty sure you read the same reports I read about how he was whining that the coaching staff was too hard on him. They was bullying him and picking on him. All right, did you see him use the word bullying?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a big culture shock when a player, no matter what their ranking is, if you make it to college football, more than likely you were the best player on your high school team.
That's right.
No matter if you are a 99 star or a half star. If you make it to college football, you were probably the best player on your team. Well, when you get to college, you ain't the best player no more.
Nope.
And that becomes a shock.
You know what's funny, Big Drake? So I talk about this all the time with my engineers about they have to be careful about dealing with folks. I said especially once you graduate. I said for most of them, I said in high school you're the smartest man in the room, or at least you had the syndrome or the smartest man in the room syndrome. Engineers, y'all, you know I had this syndrome too. I like to admit I'd say I don't, but I know I do too sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have a syndrome in my head. In my head, I think I'm the smartest man in the room. Going through high school, I thought that. We get to college, you know, even when we're in the engineer class with each other, every single one of us think we're the smartest man in the room. Well, then when I hire you, now you're working with a team full of people who are the smartest man in the room.
Yeah.
And so now that becomes a challenge because everybody here thinks they're the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
So, and to your point, if all your life you've been told how great you are and you have been the best player around you, period, now when you come around people who also was the best player around them too, now it becomes a whole different ball game. Because I even told my son this about school. I said, when we first moved to Georgia, you know, Alabama school system, except for Auburn. Auburn's actually is pretty, ranks very high. But overall, the state of Alabama school system ranks the lowest in the country. Only areas that are lower is Mississippi and I think Alabama, Louisiana fight neck for neck with school systems. Mississippi's always at the bottom. So when we got here.
Let me say this right quick. Lord, I do pray for Lane Kiffin favor and watch after me. But Lord, don't send me to Mississippi. Please don't send me to Mississippi. I enjoyed my time at Michigan State.
I applied for a job in Mississippi. My wife told me, if you go to Mississippi, we're staying in Montgomery. So,
yes, yeah. I mean, Mississippi as a state. Oh, this is garbage, man.
But I'll say,
if we got any Mississippi State listeners, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry for my comments. I'm sorry you're from Mississippi. Go ahead.
But yeah, so they've now become that. So when my son got here, it was like, I do. So what you just realized is, because we first got here in middle school, you know, the first 2-3 weeks, he had a C and a D. I said, so what you realized is what you get when you gave 70% in Alabama and got all A's, 70% here gets you just that, a 70. So
so now that
you're playing on a different playing field with those around you, you got to elevate your game another level. And I think that was the problem with Carl is he thought, oh, I'm going to go, oh, they've been waiting on me. Everybody talking about me. I'm going to step on the field. I'm going to blow them up the first day. And the first day he got on the field, he was like, where you at, Mr. Number One Ranking?
Yeah, is this person Carl?
Yeah, it's Carl Lawson.
Not Lawson. Coward.
Oh, I'm sorry. Byron Coward.
Yeah. Lawson ain't never had that.
No.
He's been a real good.
Byron Coward.
Yeah.
So, but I think, yeah, like I said, I am grateful for the money we paid for Mus Champ. It is a different football team. Now that doesn't mean they're gonna go to number one defense in the country. But the pursuit I seen in the first half, when somebody was tackled, the fact that I seen 4 and 5 blue jerseys around him, was just.
Alone. Just the aggression.
Yeah.
I mean, when you play defense, you gotta have an attitude about you.
Yeah, you gotta be nasty.
I mean, you gotta be, because we're on the Main Men Radio Show and not on XM, you have to be a butthole.
Yes.
But you know the other word that I would use
That's
instead
right.
of butthole. I mean, when you're on that field, you gotta think you're the baddest mofo out there.
That's right.
Who's the baddest? Showtime. You gotta take it back to the dragon, baby.
You do, man.
Who's the meanest?
You got
sure enough.
You gotta have
the meanest, baddest mofo in all. You gotta take it though, baby.
You gotta have an edge about you, man.
Yeah.
You gotta play every snap with a chip on your shoulder, man. And so you're right.
And
seeing
under,
that was different.
Godfather Winter up there, under that defensive coordinator, looked like he could be taking his grandkids to the pool during summer.
And
there was no aggression.
And that's what happened. You know, everybody that talked about him loved him to death because he's like my uncle or my granddaddy. Yeah, and you play like it too. you play like your uncle or granddaddy. So I was happy to see, like I say, the aggression and the tenacity of the defense. Jeremy got to get together. We got a cupcake this week, so we get a chance to take off and hopefully get everybody. Hopefully get him a half to get himself together, get his life straight.
And one thing, I'm gonna come to Auburn's defense again. Louisville ain't no bad team.
No.
No, they're not ranked. But there's a strong possibility they'll be ranked by the end of the year.
Especially if they keep playing the kid in the second half.
Next for the ACC title.
Yeah. They keep playing the kid that they put in that second half, they're going to get ranked.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But you know what, Keith, let's move on from Auburn, Alabama, because they were a ton of fun. I will say this, you know, let's move on. But it's going to be hard to talk about many SEC schools because most SEC schools play cupcakes.
They did play cupcakes.
Now, Texas A&M went down and shocked Arizona State, which was great, which I'm very proud of.
And I'll just say, I picked Texas A&M. Yes, sir.
Yes. But I kind of want to get out of the SEC for a second, if we can, please, sir.
Who you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Oregon, but before Oregon, I guess the week before, did you see, what was it, the North Dakota State and Minnesota State?
Oh, Montana State. What did Montana
State? Montana State. Did you see that game?
I actually did not. I turned on it, and I got to cooking or something, and I absolutely stopped watching it.
So, of course, that was technically the first game
That's right.
of the year, but it's not FCS. It's
FBS.
FBS, one of them.
Yeah.
FBS or something.
It may be FC. It's F some.
But the North Dakota
didn't come out right.
They won their national championship like 3 or 4 years in a row. The Montana State team, they were ranked like 12th. You know, pretty good team. They're a playoff team. And I started watching it because, first of all, I was just excited to watch football. I mean, when I say I'm a football fan, good football is good football. So I'm watching it. And at this particular time, my wife, because I had to go to work early that day. So when I came home, it was maybe second quarter.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching it. I'm all in. I mean, they're like, this is some good football. I mean, it's good football. So my wife come home. She went to the gym. She comes home. And she's like, what are you watching?
Football.
I'm like, this is North Dakota State and Minnesota State or whatever. And she's like, why are you watching them? I'm like.
Who else is on?
Well, I said, they it's good football. And I said, you know, I'm not going to watch no just garbage. This is like, I'm not one of the people that's going to watch football. That's going to watch football. And it's the end of the score is 6-6. I mean, I'm like, this is good football. So she starts watching it, and before you know it, she's screaming. Well, before then, I said, you call yourself a football coach's wife, and you dogging this good football? She's like, well, if it ain't SEC, I ain't watching. She's got a little boozy on. But before, but she sits down and watches it with me. And before you know it, she yelling and screaming at the TV. Oh, that's a catch. Oh, that's in me. I said, so what are we doing now? She's like, this is a good game. It is a good game. And, but, it's football. You know, one of the coaches at Auburn, he told me, football is football. No matter if it's peewee, middle school, high school, professional, pros, college, whatever. Football is football.
That's right.
And this game was just a good football game. For all my true football fans, because I know the Humidor, I know he watched it. We talked about it. It was a good football game. And of course, I'm an underdog fan. And the team that wasn't supposed to win, that was supposed to get blown out, end up shocking the number one team in the nation. And it was just a great, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it went to overtime. If it didn't go to overtime, it came down to the wire.
No, it came down to the wire, and it went 38-35.
Okay, yeah, it was a fabulous game. I mean, Kingpin, that game was so good. Need a YouTuber or something to see if you can watch it. It was that good game. And I told my wife, I said, this was a great football game. The players were great. I mean, it was good football. It wasn't sloppy football. It wasn't people making a whole bunch of mistakes. Nobody couldn't throw. Nobody could run. I mean, the athletes played very well. I said the only thing was missing was SEC school title names on it. I said this was Mississippi State, Ole Miss, everybody in the world would be watching.
And they was playing for everything that they had.
Yes.
And that, you know, Big Drake, you said something. You know, Big said football is football, brother. When you got two programs, when you got teams of players that's giving you their all,
yeah.
I mean that's what makes football great, man. Is that you got two people, you got two squads out here, and they are trying to leave it all out on the field. And it's worth sitting down and watching. Now some people even trying to lay it all out on the field, like, you know, Ole Miss played Tennessee Martin. I'm sure Tennessee Martin tried to leave it all out on the field. Unfortunately, they did leave it all out on the field. they got beat 76-3. But
well, I mean, it has to be
too evenly. Yeah, you got to have it. Yeah.
And honestly, you know, these were teams in the same league and the same everything. I mean, you know, we're tough to take. You know, versus Georgia, I mean, that's not going to be good football.
That's right.
I mean, it's going to be good football for Georgia, but overall, it's not going to be good football.
Well, Big Drake, because I tell you, I watched and that's still not the same as those, the two teams you talked about, but I watched that BYU who did BYU play? And they won on the Hail Mary, the Hail Mary at the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't remember.
Crap.
But BYU is a good school now.
That's why I'm saying they ain't the same level. They're not the same level.
They are.
Say what now?
BYU is a good
No, I said they're not on the same. They're not the same lower level tier team as the teams you were talking about.
But
they're not teams I would normally watch.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Good football is good football.
Last year, I said I was traveling somewhere, and yeah, we didn't tape it all last year, but the bowl season, I was traveling, and I was laying in my hotel room, and I think it was USF, was it Central Florida or South Florida? I think it was Central Florida. But somebody got beat on the last second. I watched that entire game, and it was two teams I would never watch. I mean, I would never watch them. There's nothing in my, unless they were playing one of my teams, I would never just sit down and watch these two teams play each other. But that night, I just wanted to watch football. Football was on, I watched it. And it was, I stayed up, I had to go to work the next morning, I stayed up to midnight, watched the end of the game. It was that good football, man.
Yeah, good football. Good football. I don't care what it is.
And there was some good football out this weekend, man. Again, just having football back, and then so we got some good game. Watching Oregon, because I thought Adams kid, I thought Oregon set themselves up for a trap game by taking that team's quarterback and then playing that team in the first game of the season.
Yeah. Now, one thing I can say about teams. I am not sold on the Oregon hype. In particular, for whatever reason, I woke up a little early this morning. I couldn't sleep. I woke up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And, you know, you can only watch so much of the SEC network at that time, so they just keep playing the same stuff.
That's right.
So on the channel right below it, it was the Pac-12 network. I'm like, what the hell? I'll watch it. And they were talking about Oregon at the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, the Pac-12 said a week, well, according to these analysts, was the running back from Oregon. And they were showing a lot of highlights to film. I mean, highlights of the running back, you know.
Royce Freeman.
Run here. Yeah, so, but I was watching because, you know, since I got into coaching, I can't never just watch the game anymore.
Right.
Like, the team that they played wasn't apples to apples.
No, they wasn't.
But, like, if they had played an apples to apples team, looking at their offensive line,
they got blown.
Their D line got to the backfield, but because they're not that good of an athlete, they weren't able to tackle the guy. I mean, they were right there. They were a little slower, not as quick. They weren't able to tackle the guy. I'm like, if that was, I'm not even say an SEC school. If that would have been another Pac-12 school, that would have been tackles for loss. And that school was able to throw the ball on Oregon's DBs. And I'm not sold on Oregon. Oregon, once they get into some competition, because the line, no matter what Alabama does great is they control the line of scrimmage on both sides.
That's right.
And that's what it all boils down to. You can have all the skilled players you want. If you can't control the line of scrimmage, you're in trouble. And Oregon did not control the line of scrimmage, and they played a team that was not in their league. But because their skill guys were better, they were able to make plays. So if you get an apples for apples team, another Pac-12 team, their D-linemen are going to be better athletes, and they're going to tackle that dude in the backfield. Their wide receivers are going to be better. The quarterback is going to be better, so the DBs got to watch out. After watching that game, because I watched bits and pieces of it. I didn't watch all of it, I will admit. Then once they started showing all the highlights, I'm like, man, Oregon's going to be in trouble this year. And who Oregon's in the top five?
I want to say they are. I think they number three or four. I'm looking. I had just passed that little thing, but you're right. They are. I mean, they ranked up there. No, they're number seven. They're ranked number seven.
They're going to be at the top 25.
It's going to be a long season.
I can't even put it into words.
You wouldn't feel
they can fool me because, you know, but see, I'm going to say this, but I don't believe it. Because this is because of the type of person I am and the type of coach I am, what I try to instill in my players. Sometimes you play them powder puff teams, and for whatever reason, you play it out to their level.
This is true.
And depending on what type of coach they have, that could have been the case where they played down to their level and their guys wouldn't amp up. And, you know, the Lions, the cornerbacks, whatever, they didn't play that well. But I mean, if you're a true coach, you've got true dominance in your team. Mainman radio fans, just forgive me, but this is the way I feel when I'm on that football field. I told my players this, trying to get them to capture the same attitude and passion that I have about football. If my mama has the audacity to line up against me, she's not as greased up.
Yeah.
She getting greased. I don't care. I mean, if you think you're going to line up against me and be my competitor, you about to get greased.
You're right. I want you to have that edge no matter who is on the other side of the ball. And, you know, Big Drake, that means whether you're worse than me or better than me, I want you to have that edge.
You're about to get it.
Yeah. If I line up at cornerback.
If you're a better athlete than me and you're I'm going to try my best to give it to you.
That's right.
Know that.
I'm still finna try to get it to you.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
I'm not sold on Oregon.
Well,
I know.
You know who they play this week, right?
No, who they play?
They got Michigan State this week.
Michigan State gonna win. I'm taking Michigan State.
And it's at Michigan State.
UCLA might beat them. UCLA got a good quarterback. UCLA gonna be all right, but I mean, Oregon. That is my biggest disappointment of watching football games this past week.
Was how they perform. Well, look, let's go. Let's make a couple picks, man. I mean, so you got Mississippi State. I'm with you. Well, I didn't watch all the game. I will say this.
Michigan State.
I'm sorry. I did. Now, I did watch that Michigan game, and I was thoroughly disappointed because I picked Jim Harbaugh to come out on top. But it's going to take him a while. He ain't got the answer. He does not have the people for his system.
No, he doesn't. But I bet you they give him a shot at Michigan. Even if it takes 2 or 3 years, they're not going to do them like they're doing Charlie Strong at Texas.
Oh, no. He going to have a little time. It's just same level program. All right, so the other big game this week coming up, Big Drake, LSU and Mississippi State. At Mississippi State.
Who's on the team again?
LSU at Mississippi State.
Now, I will say, spending time with people and players makes you biased towards them.
That's right.
You know, I spent 4 or 5 days with Mississippi State. I got to know a lot of their coaches. I got to meet a lot of their players. And they got some hell suckers to hinge.
They got some big boys. Who's telling me about that?
Yeah, but, of course, I mean, I was working football camps for high school prospects. So it's not like I actually saw them practice to play. I saw them work out. Which they give me, anybody can look good working out.
Everybody, a lot of people look good against themselves.
I'm going to need your help on this one. I do not know how well, you're not going to know either because their game got canceled. Yes, because I'm still iffy on LSU's quarterback.
Go ahead.
One thing in this league, you got to have a quarterback.
Yeah. And that's why I'll say, I think, I've said all season, man, people are overlooking Mississippi State. I know they lost a lot on defense, Drake, but you can. I ain't gonna say you could just replace them, but defensive talent in the SEC, defensive talent abounds in the SEC. I think, but you got an offense that returns. Dak Prescott is still the man.
Yeah. And just saying all that, I think we're both gonna agree.
I'm taking Mississippi State.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, here's the other thing. When I say they're overlooking, do you know Mississippi State did not start the season ranked in the top 25?
Well, I did know that because they got picked last in our division.
Yeah.
Which I was just flabbergasted. I'm like, but in saying that, the SEC West is so stacked this year that
it's hard.
Somebody's gonna have to finish last.
Yeah, somebody.
The person that finished last could have possibly finished first in the East.
That's right. That's very true this year. That is very true. But you know me, I'm never sold on Ole Miss. So,
you know, you and Jeffrey,
I'm never sold on Ole Miss.
But Jeffrey didn't believe in Mississippi schools. Period.
Yeah, I give Mississippi State more credit than I give Ole Miss. I've never believed in Ole Miss. All right, so the only other game that's worth picking, and this is a highly contested 1-2 to me, Oklahoma and Tennessee.
And who?
Tennessee.
Oklahoma, man.
I'm taking Tennessee.
Tell me something, man. Big Drake. Kind of quarterback. We got some type of syndrome that we don't know about just yet.
Big Drake, it's at Knoxville. I'm taking Tennessee. I think the alien is going to help them boys have a winning record this year, man. I'm going on the record and say Tennessee going to be bowl eligible this year.
I don't know about Bobby Fossil, but they're going to lose against Oklahoma.
Well, now I'll tell you this. This ain't Oklahoma of the past. I mean, they started out ranked number 19. I don't know who they played last week. Last week they played, is that them? Yeah. I don't even know. That team has a Z. AKR. Is that Akron, I guess.
Well,
They played Akron last week and only won 41-3. I didn't know Akron had a football team. I just knew – no, yeah. I didn't know Akron had a football team.
Akron has some somebody there, man. Akron, Ohio.
I know where it's at, but Big Drake, their football team is the Zips.
Well, I'm going to go against the SEC. I just believe, just like I said earlier, Tennessee got rid of Homer years and years ago, and they have been right since. That's one thing. I'm a flip sports, but I'm trying to make a point. It's one thing that bugs me about, like, the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. They'll take a guy from Czechoslovakia that is playing in the pickup games with some 10-year-olds who's 9'10". You know, they don't pick him first overall compared to somebody who's playing college ball at a very respectable conference in college, who's dunking over everybody, getting all the rebounds because, oh, this other guy has upside. What the hell at me? All that tells me is one day they might be good. And that's what has happened with Tennessee. They're just saying, they're just expected to be good, but they hadn't showed that they're good. They showed little flashes of it, which makes people think, oh, they probably are going to be good. Oklahoma is always good.
This is true. Hey, I didn't know. I'm going to give y'all this tidbit. I'm sitting there making fun of the Akron Zips. You know who the Akron Zips head coach is?
It's somebody that I know.
Terry Bowden.
Yeah, I'm really embarrassed. I know who Akron coach is.
I had forgot about that Terry went up there to coach them boys.
Yeah. So I'm going to Oklahoma. Can you look up right quick, just like the last 4 or 5 years? Let's go five. Let's go a nice even number. Not even in 2, 4, 6 even, but you know what I mean. A nice round number.
Uh-huh.
Go 5 years. Look at the last 5 years of Oklahoma's record. Look at the last 5 years of Tennessee's record.
Yeah. Well, we know Tennessee's probably ain't going to be we probably know what Tennessee's is going to look like when we look that up.
But all of a sudden, they're just supposed to be good this year. You don't have to show me. Not saying that they're not. You don't have to show me.
Yeah, Tennessee, let's see, let's pull it up real. Where is how I go up there? There we go. Tennessee's all-time record. Nope, that's not what I'm looking for. Come on, Wikipedia, just give me the. Okay, here we go. All right, so Tennessee. What are wins and losses at? Games, wins, losses. All right, now I know what that looks like. So Tennessee's record. Last year there was a winning record, so they were 7-6.
Wow, 7-6. I bet you people ran the city's naked for 7-6.
They was, oh my God. 7-6, 5-7, 5-7, 5-7, 6-7, 7-6, 5-7.
Okay.
The last time Tennessee was anything better than a 7-6 was 10-4 in 2007.
2007? In 2007, my wife and I won't even marry. Now we're about to have a baby. Okay, can you pull up Oklahoma, please, sir?
Yeah, let me see. I gotta get through them fast. That's disappointing, there, man. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was probably expecting better than that. you gonna make me want to change my picks? I mean, you make.
I'm just saying, you have to show me something. I mean, Tennessee has gotten all this praise just because of their upside and because. Righteously, there are only two other teams in the East. You have Georgia, who's always going to be a contender, and Missouri. Because Missouri, no matter what anybody says, has been to the SEC championship the last 2 years.
That's right.
So who's next? Kentucky? Vandy? South Carolina? So damn, if you don't know, they're going to go all the way and win a damn game.
I picked South Carolina to lose this week, I think. And I think they're
supposed to. The old ball coach that lost his
magic. No, old ball coach is just there to continue to play golf.
Yeah,
That's the only reason why the old ball coach is there. All right, they ain't, they're not showing me. I was trying to see the little, same little kind of chart for Oklahoma, and they don't want to.
Don't want Arkwright?
Nah, they don't want Arkwright to show me. Let's see. That's under Bob Stoops.
Yes.
Let's see if I can decipher what this is. This look like. The Sooners open. No, that's not it. Bob Stoops, because Bob Stoops has been there since 1999. Man, I didn't realize Bob Stoops had been there that long.
Yeah, he's been there a minute, coach.
Come on, y'all can show me. But you're right, and I think, you know, Wutz Column only gets that Tennessee almost because it's almost kind of like this year has to be the year. That's kind of always what it is.
Yeah.
That this year has to be the year. This has to be the time we finally turn the corner. There's no we can't not yet. And it's like, yeah, yes it is. Yep, because y'all suck.
Yeah. I'm going with Oklahoma.
All right. Let's see if this is the one to tell me. Nope, that same one just came off of. Yeah, I can't pull it up. They ain't got it real fast. But
that's okay. But we know. With Oklahoma, it seems to say that Oklahoma's been to a bowl game at least in the past 7-8 years in a row, at least.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, pretty.
Right.
Well, it's safe to say that because the coach been the coach since 1999, so
yeah,
it's safe to say they've had better than 5-7 records.
Yeah.
All right, Big Drake, before we get off the air, man. I
make a couple more picks. Do you have some more picks that we make?
No, wasn't no other. Those were only top 25, okay. Top 25. Everybody else is kind of cupcakes.
Okay.
So we ain't got a lot of other good games this week. Okay. So Big Drake, I gotta get your switching gears to the NFL. I gotta get your thoughts on. So I'll say I'm gonna give my thoughts. Okay. I was happy last week that Dictator Goodell finally got put in check. I was sad to see it was done by Tom Brady in the new game in the Patriots.
Yeah.
I've never had, you know, a feeling of joy, adulation, and frustration and disappointment all at the same time.
Well, when all that deflate gate was going on and this is, you know, this is one thing I say about Bill Belichick. I actually love his interview because he just goes there like the dumb to do. I don't know. Well, we just try to run the ball. We got to take each game one at a time. I don't know. So he acts like he don't know what's going on.
That's right. He plays dumb for everything.
Yeah, but this time he was like, you need to talk to Tom Brady about that because I don't even touch balls. I don't know nothing about no football.
I don't grab the ball during the game.
Ooh, he just kind of threw Tom Brady into the box there. And me, being who I am, doing what I do, Tom Brady got up there and just flat out lied. I wish you could play the audio of that first interview, and I could just break it down for you. And especially if this was like a TV show, his body language and his nonverbal cues that he was giving that he can't control, that he doesn't know he's doing, but I can see that it just laughs and screams to me in my face. Oh, man, I could just. But even if he says, maybe we could set it up in the next couple of weeks and we could just play it. And you play a little bit and pause it, and I could just break it down for y'all. I mean, the dude is just flat out lying. He's a liar. He is a liar.
Well, Big Drake, let me go. I'm going to tell you this. I'm in town, and I've been intending to call you guys or text you and let you know. I'm coming in town October 7th and 8th, I think.
Okay.
And so one of those days may be a practice, but I may have to hold over and, you know, leave the next morning or something, because one of those will be a Thursday, because it's a Wednesday and Thursday, I think. So maybe we can do a live taping, and then so if I bring all of my equipment, we can watch it then, and we can play it.
Yes. Because
he's a straight liar.
I mean, it was so frustrating to me. And to watch you know, people on ESPN and their analysts and, you know, giving them, Tom Brady wouldn't lie. Tom Brady's telling the truth. He's this, he's that. I'm like, oh, my God, dude. He's got people convinced because, for whatever reason, he's Tom Brady. Tom Brady wouldn't lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was was pissing me off, man. It really was.
It was almost as if, like, Tom Brady was Jesus' son.
Yeah.
Like, who do y'all think this dude is? I mean, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like I said, I was everybody knows how much I hate Dictator Goodell. I mean, I hate Dictator Goodell with a passion. But to see him get beat by Tom Brady, because to me, I mean, it's so smug. They're so smug with it. That, we cheated. So what? So what? What you gonna do about it?
Mm-hmm.
This is that organization. This is what that organization is about.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of hurt me is that, you know, it could have been anybody but this dude to be able to go and beat him, man. Because again, they were so smug to the point to where now they're like, no, we want the other staffer reinstated too. You know why you want to reinstate it? Because he got fired for y'all. He got fired for y'all. That's why you want him reinstated. Because you know you owe him.
Yeah.
I mean, they
and they probably say, look, we got to fire you, but you know we're going to take care of you.
That's right.
Take one for the team.
That's right.
You got to be the scapegoat.
It was.
I don't like, Tom, no? If you want me to do this, I got to sleep with your wife. I've never slept with a supermodel before.
Hey,
we need to make this happen.
Hey, Tom. I don't know if I can keep this this little phone I got right here. I don't know that I can say that it won't get in somebody's hands unless your wife over at the crib tonight.
Giselle? Yeah, I'm gonna need to see Giselle. Gotta holler.
All right, Big Drake, dude. Hey, want to tell all the listeners, you guys, the Serena's quest for a Grand Slam is postponed tonight, so she will be playing Friday. So if you get to listen to this before Friday morning, Friday at 11 a.m., tune in, man. Support. I really, really, really want to see Serena take this thing, man.
Yeah.
See her go down as one of the greatest of all times, and put her name, continue to etch her name in the record books. You know, for nothing more, the interview I seen when they was interviewing Venus. About the game last week, earlier this week, and Venus said, you know, yeah, it means a lot for not just her, but for our entire family. But I'm gonna try to beat her. And then to see Serena said, you know, Serena, you could tell she was kind of humble. She was like, well, it means a lot to me, and you know, I didn't know it meant that much to my family too. I mean, it's just a pleasure to me, man, of watching those. And so, you know, I thought about this, Big Drake, and you know, we're the Maybe a radio show, and we don't try to mimic ourselves or pattern ourselves after anybody. But I would have expected to have seen this, but I do not recall ever seeing a poll. And so I wanted to know, and I'm gonna put this out for the listeners as y'all listen to us. Please text us this week and let us know who is. Is there any other set of siblings in all of athletics that could rival the greatness of Serena and Venus combined? Any other set of siblings in any sport that can rival the greatness of Serena and Venus combined? Because I got to thinking about it. I was like, man, these two sisters probably had the greatest set of siblings in all of sports ever.
Yeah.
So I want y'all to chew on that. A couple names came to my mind. I want to see just how deep people's sports knowledge go, especially as they talk about siblings, to see what comes out. Off the top, can you think of any other siblings? Well, first of all, that may not even rival. Can you think of any other great siblings in professional sports?
Well, the only ones I can think of, and this would be another one, is because they're twins. You know, name a great set of twins would be the Barber twins, you know, Tiki and Aronde.
Tiki and Aronde. Those are two I came up with.
Yeah. There are some more brothers that both are in the NFL, but they're just kind of
subpar?
You know, just role players.
Yeah.
You got to be a good athlete to make the NFL, but they ain't like.
You got the Matthews boys.
Yeah, that's a good lineage. But even...
But only one of them's great.
Yeah, I mean... this is off the top of my head, just thinking. I can't think. Because you got to realize, I mean, both individually, they've won Grand Slam titles and French Open, American Open, Wimbledon. They've won all that stuff. And then, like, when they beat doubles, I mean, it's like it's not even fair.
That's right. It's not fair that they could beat me, most men. So.
Yeah, that's not right. Like, okay, I'm just like, we in neighborhood, of course, one guy's going to be the best, and then there's the second best.
Mm-hmm.
And always, hey, you two got to pick teams because y'all can't be on the
same team. That's right. Y'all can't be on the same team.
That's the way it should be. Like, okay, they can't be on the same team.
And I thought what really popped me up for this is I still don't think that they get the respect they deserve. And again, I think it's because of their color, but I don't think they get the respect that they deserve. For I mean, these two women, Venus is still playing top of her game. Yeah, she's only parallel by her sister. She's 35. She said, I read that the thing. She said, I wanted to win because I am the oldest player in the Open.
Yeah.
So she's still playing a 20-year-old game, people's game, at 35. Yeah.
And you know, just to piggyback on what you said about the respect thing, I don't know who it was, but it was a white commentator. I don't know if it was it's Mac something. The one tennis player, that's the guy who's always known.
McEnroe.
McEnroe. Him. McEnroe.
Yeah.
It could have been him, but I'm not sure if it was another female tennis player who's older now. But one of them said, and once they said it, that's when it became big news. But one of them said, I don't think people realize that we're literally watching history. And the only reason why this is not big news is because she's black. If she was white, everybody in the world would be talking about this. But we need to realize we are literally watching history right now. And once that person said it, that's when it became a big deal. And everybody's watching it. And celebrities at the U.S. Open and all that crap.
And I don't know who said that, but I'll tell you, I just seen a West Kentucky guy get what looked like a very nasty axe injury. I don't want to see that replay. But I will tell you, John, oh, God. Oh, I shouldn't have watched it.
I'm watching it. I'm watching the New England thing just grieves up Pittsburgh right now.
Oh, man. That's a good game with LaTeX and West Kentucky on right now. But he just...
Okay, well, I'll watch it in a second.
His knee just got destroyed. John McEnroe said he think he could beat Serena.
He said what now?
He said he could beat Serena.
Oh, well, I mean, he probably could. He's a man.
No, look now.
Come on now.
B. Drake, we talk about this all the time. We've talked about this in the past. I would put all of my money on Serena. Now, at his prime, yes. But right
that's
now.
What I'm talking about. He can't beat him right now.
He said right now.
Okay, no. Oh, no, I don't believe that.
He said he could take the court right now and beat her.
Okay, no. Okay, I'm not.
That's what I was going to say. No, bro. You can't beat her. In your prime,
I'm talking about back in the day.
Nah. He said right now.
Yeah, I love his attitude, though. That's the kind of attitude I would have. Yeah. I would say the same thing.
Yeah, John McEnroe's always been that kind of cocky, so I'm good.
Yeah. Ain't no kind of.
He's confident. He's confident in everything he do. Big Drake, man, it's been a pleasure, man. Like I say, fam, we're going to try. We ain't going to set the date. We do have a day in our head that we're going to attempt to try to make this work. But what we will try to promise you is trying to get on. And we may even commit to, like I said, even if we have to get on and only give you 30 minutes because we ain't got the time to get a full show in, we may have to
We gave him a lot tonight.
You got 2 full hours right tonight. But we may all even get on to give you just whatever we can give you. We're going to commit to trying to give you something every single week. If that means me and Britt Drake have to queue it up, get you 30 minutes, hit the recaps and hit the highlights of what's coming up, we'll still get up and get you what we got, man. But I'll tell you, family, I miss y'all like I miss breathing while being held underwater.
Yes, yes.
It has been a pleasure being back on the app, man, and to talk about football. Big Drake love talking. If for nothing else, me and Big Drake don't get to talk like this all through the week. So doing the show gives us an opportunity to talk to each other. So it's really like y'all just sitting here and listening to us talk. If you were sitting around the fire with us, this is what you would hear right here. What you hear on the air. This is how it go down.
It really was.
Ask the humidor. That's how it is when we do get to hang out there, man. This is the conversation that go on, right?
It's probably a little bit more funnier.
It probably is. Because there is no restrictions.
Even though this is, you know,
it's our show.
This is our show. We say what we want. We really don't say what we want. Well, I can only speak for me. I don't say what I really want to say.
There's some things, you know, that I really would like to say that I don't say.
Yes, but you know, this is a family-based show.
That's right.
So we're going to keep it that way. And I wouldn't want 15, 20 years down the line my son to listen and be like, oh my God, I had no idea you were like that.
That's right. That was kind of out the way. That's
so we're going to keep it the way it is. But it truly has been a pleasure.
Big Drake, any parting words for our listeners, man?
Yes, what I want to do, I'm going to, I guess, take you guys on a little journey with me. Kingpin and a lot of people that I know, neighbors, co-workers, all my football players and coaches, the thing that I come up with is called Goblin. And it's a set of principles that I choose to live my life by. And when I originally came up with it, I wanted to give something to my football players. When I started off with these Alabama partners, I was coaching D-line, I wanted to give them something that they can, of course, apply to football. But, I mean, I love coaching football so much. And when I say I love coaching, I mean, I love all the aspects that go into coaching, meaning the player, personal relationship, how they're doing with their family, how they're doing in school, if it's high school or if it's a kid in college. Their family dynamics, what's going on with their job. I mean, I'm all involved with that, and I get calls all the time from players that just want to catch up, maybe need some fatherly advice. I have one of my players, I'm 34, he's 33, and he literally told me, Coach, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. And he was dead serious. I'm like, Coach. I mean, I said, I ain't going to say his name because I'm trying to embarrass nobody. I don't know if he'd be embarrassed. But I'm like, such and such. Like, you know I'm only 1 year older than you. Oh, man, I thought you was like 45 or 46. I said, nah, I know I don't look that old. He said, no, you don't look that old. But just kind of the way you carry yourself and the wisdom you have, I just thought you was an older cat. He's went from being one of my players to almost like being my brother.
Yeah.
I walked through fire for that dude. He walked through fire for me. But that's what I enjoy more about coaching than just the X's and O's. Like I said in the beginning, you know, you don't have to preach from the pulpit. So I'm all about impacting people's lives for the greater good. You know, one of the things that I recall about going through the Sigma process years and years ago, and you and I, anytime we get some new recruits or some prospects, we would, you know, talk to them. Because in college, you know, everything's about what's flashy, what's hot.
That's right.
You know, the Sigmas, per se, don't have a thing. The Kappas have a thing. The Alphas have a thing. The Qs have a thing. And sometimes you can get caught up in that because you're young. What's the thing? What's the hot thing to be? But going through the Sigma process always instilled, and in which we try to instill in other people, this process is not going to make you better than anybody.
Nope.
And it's going to make you a better you.
That's right. That's right.
And so one of my passions that goes along with football is just helping people become better people, just helping them become a better them. And what I came up with, this phrase, it's an acronym, and I have these bands, and everybody that listens to this show should have my number, but I'll give it out. 334-332-0071. 334-332-0071, and I will send you a copy of the sheet and a band. I have I'm so passionate about this particular thing that it's been copyrighted. I had it copyrighted. That's how serious I am about it. And I truly try to live my life by it. The phrase is goblin. And, of course, I have goblin bands. I have a goblin hat that I wear at every practice, no matter what team I'm coaching. And people automatically, and this is one of the things I wanted to do because of stereotypes in people. People may see somebody with dreads and automatically assume something about them in a negative way. So people see the word goblin, they hear goblin, and because of what people think it is, they automatically assume it's something negative or something nasty. But it's nothing but positivity. And I always teach my players, play like a goblin, be a goblin, and live like a goblin. I have a wristband on each wrist that I never take off. And I won't ever take off. I'll be buried with this. And I want to take you through it step by step, because each letter stands for something football-related and worldly related. I want to give my players something that they can apply the goblin to the football field, but football can teach a person so much about life. And I want them to take the life aspects of it, and goblin also has a dual meaning, they can apply it to their life. So goblin, what letter does it start with? It starts with G.
G.
And each week, I'm going to give a letter and a meaning, and each letter has multiple meanings. But we'll start off with G. And the first one is great. And this world, just like Kingpin said earlier, it's filled with entitlement. I don't have to put my best effort to deserve this. I should get this. I should play, even though I'm not the best player. Even though I don't participate in practice and put forth the best effort, I should play. Entitlement.
I deserve it.
Yes, I deserve it. But I want to encourage everybody to strive for greatness. Be great at everything you do. And this is the way I attack coaching. I attack my job as an investigator. I attack my job as a husband. Anything that I do, I try to be great at it. The world is filled with being mediocre. It's like, it's okay to be mediocre. It's okay to do enough to get by. But I want to encourage everybody to take it a step further. And if your boss, for whatever reason, asks you to go outside and pick up rocks, be the best damn rock picker up you can be. I mean, really grasp it, because I tell you this, you never know who's watching.
That's right.
You never know who's watching. And you never know. And when I say you never know who's watching, it's not because, oh, the big CEO of such and such company might be watching, they might give you a job making this much of money. That very well may be true. But if you're living on this earth to help people become better people, you just might inspire them to be great. So just remember, G stands for great, meaning greatness. And everything you do, when you wake up in the morning, you strive to be great at whatever it is you do. If you're helping your kids do homework, be great at it.
Study. Get ready.
be great at it. If you're, of course, at work doing your job, and of course, it's human nature, and this is why I wear the bands to be a constant reminder to me. Of course, at times, you don't feel like it. Your body's weary. You're just tired. But I look at these bands and I ask myself, I say, am I being a goblin right now? And that motivates me. It motivates me to strive to be the best husband I can be, to be the best coach I can be the best investigator I can be, to be the best friend I can be, to be the best supervisor I can be. I want to encourage everybody to strive for greatness. Be great. Don't be mediocre. Be great. So,
Big Drake, I'm going to try to do something with you. As you're doing this, and jot this down, see if this is for you or not. As you're going through these, I want to see you if the Word of God has something on for each letter too. And as you just said tonight, you said be great. I want you guys to Colossians 3, verse 23. This is a scripture I have up in my I used to have it up in my cubicle. Now I have it up on the front of my desk. It's Colossians 3 and 23. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." And being great, man, like you said, it's not about not for anybody else. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Because for the Lord is where your reward comes from, man.
Yes, yes.
God's awesome, dude. God is awesome.
Ain't he?
Want to do it? Fam. Hey, every week we coming. We going to do this thing. Oh, I want to tell you, Big Drake, Zach and Dylan have goblin bands on their ankles that they have not taken off in like 4 months.
Anybody that wants it, I will send it to you. If I need to send you more, I will send it to you.
They have goblin bands on their ankles, man. Once we get all the way through Goblin, man, we're going to put it up on the website so that everybody got it too, man. So you can be able to go and look at
That'll
it,
work.
Man.
I'm down for it.
Hey, Maid Men family, you know we love you, baby. We'll be right back at you next week, man. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for continuing to support us even when we went on the air, knowing that you had our back, man. Made the journey so much better, and knowing that when we got back here, we was right in the right place, man. Hey, we love you. Can't wait to talk to you next week, man. Have a blessed week. Do all that you can. Be great in everything that you do and everything that you attempt. And one of our sayings from the last time, don't forget to pass it forward, man. Do something for somebody else, man. Hey, yes. We love you. God love you. Two fangs in there. Deuces.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from the flight deck. We're cruising at 37,000 feet. We just passed over the coast. We'll be beginning our descent in about 30 minutes. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to America.
Yeah. I was made in America, land of the free, home of the brave. And right up under your nose, you might see a sex slave being traded. And would do anything for the money. Boy, mama might sell her babies. Sell porn, sell pills, anything to pay the bills, anything to bring that paper. Gotta scratch that itch, gotta scratch them ticks. Ain't rich, but I might be. And I'ma shoot these flicks, I'ma turn these tricks, anything for a slight seat. Yeah, made in America. Mama told me that I belong here. Had to earn our stripes, had to learn our rights, had to fight for a home here. But I wouldn't know a thing about that. All I know is drugs and rap. I probably could have been some kind of doctor instead of holding guns and crack. I was born in the mainland. Great grandpa from a strange land. He was stripped away and given bricks to lay. I guess you could say he a slave hand. But I was made in America, so I don't know a thing about that. All I know is Uncle Sam looking for me, working on his corner, so I know I gotta pay tax. Getting paid in America. I was raised in America. And this is all I ever known. If I'm wrong, then you better come save me, America. Welcome to 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 America. Man, I die for America. I serve my time for America. Got shot, shot back, went to war, got back, and ain't nobody give a jack in America. I could've lost my life, why I lost my wife. I can't even get right in my homeland. Cold sweats, whole text, paranoid, looking out for a threat in my own land. I was trained in America. How to get up in the planes in America. Flew right into the buildings, taking out the buildings. People getting killed in America. And I'm still in America. No, America ain't feeling me. I went to war for this country. Turn around, came home, and you grilling me? When y'all free here, saying you don't wanna be here. Well, you probably couldn't breathe here if I didn't load a couple magazines here. Y'all just complaining in America. I'm jumping out of military planes from America. Hey, I was made in America. That's why I'm out here saving America. I got a brother in the cemetery now, cause he wanted y'all safe. And everybody wants the freedom, but nobody wanna hear about face. We bled for America, to keep y'all fed in America. But what's the point of talking? A lot of y'all don't really even care, America. Welcome to 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 America. I wish I lived in America. Wanna raise my kids in America. Heard everybody rich, all I gotta do is run, jump, kick, I'm a hit in your area. So please pick me, America. I know you probably never loved me. You never hear about me on the news, and you probably never been to my country. I hear selling education, and got clothes that you throw away. Got plenty food in your nation. I can tell cause a lot of y'all are on the way. I already work for y'all. I'm in the sweatshops making these shirts for y'all. Now I ain't getting money, go to bed hungry, but I make some exports for y'all. And y'all don't know a thing about that. You was made in America. I'm trying to find me a ticket where the sky is the limit. Catch a plane to America. It should be plane to America. Y'all blessed and you got it made. Heard y'all don't pray no more. Y'all ain't say no more. Y'all looking for another way. Well, I hope it ain't true, but I'm packing my suit. Farewell to my motherland. Said bye to my loved ones. Fate, here I come. I'm going to another land. I done made it to America. I'm amazed at America. But I couldn't get approval to stay, so they sent me away from America.